17th of May 1974 was the worst day of the Troubles. Three car bombs exploded in Dublin City, one in Monaghan Town. 33 people and one full-term baby died. One of those who had a near escape on the day was poet Rachel Hegarty and her young brother and her mother, who were crossing from Talbot Street to North Earl Street when the second explosion happened. Rachel's new poetry collection, Mayday 1974, recalls the events of that awful day and endeavours to give presence to the 34 lives that were lost. And this is through a series of ballads, lamentations, quinu, and something called docu-sonnets, which Rachel will explain to us momentarily. But first of all, what age were you on the day, Rachel? And what are your memories of that day in particular?
I was 5 and a half, Sean, and we had just left Guineas, thankfully. Ma had gone in for tea towels and terry cloth nappies, and we were gunning for donuts, myself and my brother Daisy, who was 3, and we were going up to Cafe Kylemore, the first one that was still down on North Earl Street. And just as we crossed over, there was a loud noise, and evidently that was the first bomb on Parnell Street. And then there was a second, louder noise that really hurt me ears. And I remember Ma dropped the shopping bags, which like had the dinner for myself and my 8 siblings and my dad. And I knew that was serious because Ma never dropped shopping. And I remember an onion rolling across North Dow Street going, there's something wrong. And Ma threw me into the pram and just start running. And that was my memory of that day.
It's the specifics of something like the onion rolling across the street that always amazes me in these type of situations. And even, you know, without going into specifics, I can remember things from different bombings at different times. And you'd see the most simple of actions, something like somebody picking up a, you know, a newspaper off the ground and putting it into it. Something as simple as that, which was the most ordinary of actions in the most horrific of circumstances.
Absolutely. And I remember we were running and there was a sound, a weird sound from the wheels of the pram, and it was the wheels going bockety over broken glass. And I remember my mum had this unusual look on her face that I'd never seen, and she kept trying to pull the hood of the pram up over us, and it was broken, and yet she kept trying to pull it up. So even back then, I remember thinking, she's seen something that we shouldn't be seeing. So I don't know even what she saw.
She was protecting you probably from some of the things that have been seen on the day. Let's go to some of the poems, and we'll get back to this idea of the docu-sonnets first of all. I want to talk about the O'Brien family. Because this again is one of the horrific losses. How on earth did the rest of the family cope with this loss? 4 people. Who are we talking about here?
Yeah, this is John O'Brien, who's 24, his wife Anna O'Brien, 22, Jacqueline O'Brien, who's 17 months, and then little baby Anne-Marie O'Brien, who is 5 months old. And they all lived on the flats on Gardiner Street. They're originally from Finglas, which is my hometown. Yeah. So I was immediately struck by this family going, what's going on here? And they were just walking down Parnell Street of an evening. And I remember, like, I had 2 small young kids myself, so I remember what it's like, that witching hour between 5 and 7, get them out, otherwise somebody is going to be in the horrors.
Big trouble, yeah.
So let's just get fresh air. And I was thinking, God, maybe she was out, just get them out of the house, go for a walk. And they walked straight into the bomb, the first bomb on Parnell Street, and they were blown to bits.
All 4 of them.
All
lost.
4 gone.
Let's listen to Anna O'Brien's poem. So this is Anna's poem, and what's significant here, and you've done this with all of those who lost their lives, there are 22 lines in this poem because Anna was 22 years old when she died.
Yeah, and she only had, in the Barron report, she only had a little 2-sentence biog of her marital status, her age and her occupation.
Which
and
was the case for everybody who died.
Everybody who died. But I wanted to give back something more. So I wrote this. Anna O'Brien. What I miss about Finglas are the trees by the Talca. The river made the valley and the valley gave us trees. When the priest in Gardiner Street drones on, I mouth me prayers like the others, but really, I'd be back by the Talca, walking the trail of trees in me head. I hear me granny's voice, soft whisperings over the rattle of rosaries, and her telling me trees never sin. She names off the trees and their markers, the willow with its weeping limbs, the ash and its papery bark, the oak's sturdy trunk and tiny toppers, and the hazel with its nuts for hungry gaps. When the time comes, I'll show our girls the markers for different kinds of trees. I'll take them to the elder where me and John carved out our names when we was courting. They'll likely laugh at us, old ones, once young, and carving love on a tree by the Talca.
And that's the poem Anna O'Brien from Rachel Hegarty's collection, made in 1974. And of course, the terrible poignancy of that final line, they'll laugh at us old ones, you know. And
they never got to be old.
They never got to that point. Let's talk then about the identification of these bodies, because this, what you give us is, are they words from the Barron Report, or did you actually take the words from the Barron Report and turn them into these docu-sonnets?
No, they're the actual verbatim words.
And you sort of worked them into 14-line sonnets.
Them from the Barron Report, worked them in to 14 lines with a turn, with a Shakespearean turn in it, after the octave went into the turn and the last six lines. Because I was thinking all in my head of, like, you know, in artistic terms, collusion is the best thing to be doing. But when it comes to state collusion with terrorist organisations, that's the wrong thing to be doing. Yeah. So I wanted to get that.
In the case of the O'Brien family, it was Anna's father had to identify his son-in-law and his two grandchildren. He couldn't identify his daughter.
No, it was sadly her auntie Christina who identified Anna by her earring.
And how did he identify his son-in-law?
Because he had a tattoo on his arm with Anna and Johnny forever.
Mm. And he says of the two children, the children were gold.
Were like little strips of gold. They were his first grandchildren. So there was a documentary in Yorkshire Television called The Hidden Hand, and that's where I got that quote from him.
I'd like to read one of the docu-sonnets about one of the other people who died. And this was a woman called Anne Byrne, lived in Dunamead, killed in Talbot Street while she was on a shopping trip. And she was survived by her husband, Michael, and two children who were at home.
Yep.
But in town with her on the day was Michelle, aged 8, and Trevor, aged 4.
Those
are the two children. But
yeah,
Michelle, who was there was a baby with her who was kind of found wandering. Was with that Wendy, yeah?
That's Colette Doherty. That's a different victim. But Anne Byrne, it was by herself in town. Colette Doherty was the woman who was in town with, and 9 months pregnant with Wendy.
All right, I'll come back to Colette. But will you read the docu-sonnet, which is written by Anne Byrne's daughter?
Michelle O'Brien.
Michelle O'Brien, who was subsequently married, obviously, became Michelle O'Brien. Because there are some details in this. And this, you gleaned this from the Barron Report.
The Barron Report.
But you then turned it into this style of sonnet, documentary sonnet.
Yeah, I lineated into sonnet. I'd read Evan Boland's book, The Making of a Sonnet, and in it she says the sonnet is a malleable form. Mm. And I was like, oh my God, I could totally, because sonnet means little song in Italian. And I felt like these statements that the family made were like little songs to their family. So I wanted to get them. So the only thing I changed was the lineation, and also sometimes the metering, just so that it went in better. But these are the actual words spoken by the family members. Michelle O'Brien's statement to the Oireachtas public hearings on the Barron Report, 20th of the 1st, 2004. I am the daughter of Anne Byrne, who was killed on Talbot Street. I speak on behalf of my father, Michael Byrne, and my brother, Trevor. On the 17th of May, 1974, our day started like any other. Little did we know that by 5:30 that Friday evening, our lives would change forever. My dad came home at lunch that day to drop my mother into town. My brother and I stayed at home. Our neighbour minded us. I heard the tree loud bangs as I stood in our house in Dunamead. When Dad came in from work, we told him Mam hadn't returned. Dad searched the hospitals. He found Mam's remains in the morgue. He knew it was our mother because she had worn a green coat and by her wedding ring, which I am very proud to wear today. Mam was buried that following Tuesday on my brother's birthday. And to this day, my brother has not celebrated his own birthday. You know, it took our father 15 years to walk up Talbot Street again.
Extraordinary material. That's Michelle O'Brien's statement to the Oireachtas public hearings on the Barron Report, 20th of January 2004. And it's that sonnet version from May Day 1974, Rachel Hegarty's new collection. And I do want to talk about Colette Doherty, because I wondered how you were going to handle this particular aspect, because Colette was, she was 21 years old. Her daughter Wendy was with her. Wendy was found wandering around the streets subsequently.
Wendy was found by a neighbour wandering around the streets, relatively unharmed and perfect, and they couldn't understand, maybe because she was in the buggy and she missed the blast, but her mom didn't survive.
But page 48, you simply have Baby Doherty.
Yeah.
Explain that.
I was just completely blown away by the fact that Colette Doherty had gone into town on the 17th of May 1974, 2 days before she was due into the Rotunda to have her baby. And I was thinking in my head, I bet she went in to get some last minute bits for the hospital bag and brought the child in with her, we'll get this, that and the other. And just that fact that that child was 2 days off being born and never made it. So I left the page blank with just the words Baby Doherty on it.
And the promise of her life is all over that blank page.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want you to read one of the poems from the Monaghan bomb. The Monaghan bomb went off at 7:02, and I remember for years after that event, the clock in the church just across from where the bomb blew up was stuck at 7:02 for a long, long time. Will you read Thomas Crokin, and we'll talk briefly about it afterwards?
Yeah. Thomas Crokin. I'll live past this, muscle through another day. I've tilled the soil. I'll harvest the land. I've fed and tended livestock. I'll see through calving and lambing time, eat colours from July, wild raspberries and early blackberries.
That's Thomas Crokin, the poem that accompanies the story of that man's death in May 1974 from the collection of Rachel Hegarty. There are a couple of things that really struck me about Thomas's poem. Just one word per line.
Yeah.
And maybe I'd explain. Thomas didn't die on the day.
No, he died exactly 37 days after the bomb in July in the Richmond Hospital in Dublin. His injuries were so horrendous they had to move him from Monaghan County Hospital to the Richmond. And I was struck by the fact that this is a young man working the land. He's only 36 years old. And I gave him his 36 lines, line for every year, but he lived for 37 days after the bomb. And I was like, this is a countryman who probably weighed every word with his eye and his ock. And I'm going to give him the 37 words of those days.
Day. What a beautiful way to commemorate him. And in fact, wasn't it one of the family members of one of those who died on the day spoke to you about hearing the poems and what they did for her?
Yeah, she said it was a brother actually who said, thank you very much. You lifted my dead sister off the street in Talbot Street and let her get on with her life for a little while.
And I guess that's what this book is all about. Rachel Hegarty speaking to us about her collection, May Day 1974. Please get it. Please read it. It's published by Salmon Poetry.